All right, Tony, go get it, man.
Thank you, Andrew. Good morning. As Andrew said, for those of you who are visitors, I'm Tony. I'm a member of the leadership team. For those of you who are not visitors, I'm Tony and a member of the leadership team. As Andrew said, I was given this message. You know, Mary had asked if I would do a message when we went to Shack Tulik. And I said, sure, I'll never see him again. You know, that's my thought, you know. If I totally, you know, make a mess out of it, you know, these people won't remember me next year. And since then, I've done it like 3 times. I need to apologize to you now. I told First Service this. As you can see, this is my runway. I will use it well as I speak. I go back and forth. So those of you in the front row, your necks are going to be going like this pretty much the entire time. So I was given this message. We left here about 1 o'clock in the morning on a day that had 1 o'clock in the morning on it. I can't remember what day it was. And just before that, I was woke up and with one word, tithe. No dream before or afterward, just tithe. And I was going to give a message in Shack Tulik about grace because, face it, how can you go wrong on a message with grace? But it just wasn't kind of coming together. And this word tithe kept on coming in. It's like, you know, God, I don't even know these people. Who am I to talk to them about tithing? You know, scrawny little white boy going up into a land where you could never be seen from again if you made him really mad. So I prayed about it for a while. So I'm going to back up now. So that's kind of where this message started. So let's find out about me. I've been in construction for about 25 years. I started in the pit. Basically, I did concrete. Found out it was dirty, dusty. The view was horrible. from there, I decided to venture a little higher, and I got into roofing. View was great. Temperature was hot. Still not much fun. And then I settled into everything in between. I started building houses. That's been about 25 years. In that same course of time, I gave my heart to the Lord about 22 years ago. And amazing things have happened. He's blessed me. He's protected me. He's watched out for me. My walk has been good. Everybody's going, wow, he said that kind of funny. And there have been times that my walk has been not so good. You heard of God's mighty right hand, right? You want to know why he has such mighty right hand? You know those kids that you see at the fair or the carnival that have that little harness thing on, it has that little leash, and the parents have the other end of it? God's had to, you know, in 20 years, I've been his dumbbell, okay? I've been his yank me back on track kid. So I've been walking with God, like I said, for about 20 years, and half of that has been with my wife, Karen. Met Karen about 14 years ago and started getting into the Word with her when we were dating. We shared a devotion called Streams in the Desert. And awesome devotional, highly recommend it. But we would read that devotion every morning, and she would read it at her house. I would read it at mine. And at the time, I was working in Manson. So from Rock Island to Manson, to the very end of Manson, was about an hour and a half each way. So young and in love, the very second I got into the truck, called Karen, hey, are you awake? And she said yes, and we'd already read the devotion, like I said, separately. And then we would do what we called God talk. And for an hour and a half, we would talk about what we got out of it. She would say, hey, did you get this? And I would say, no. She said, hey, you should have gotten this. No. No, but honestly, we would read it, and there were so many times it would be just, she would pick up something, and I would pick up on the same thing. It was like, wow, you know, that is so cool. Or there were, honestly, the times where it'd be like, no, totally blew by that, but that is really cool. And believe it or not, I had some of those times with her, too, so she wasn't just the brainiac. I had a couple of shining moments. But, so you figure about a half hour to do that devotion, hour and a half, drive time. I spent the first 2 hours of my day for an incredibly long period of time with God. In His Word, and just God talking. Sorry, guys. You guys really aren't that intimidating. This thing is that intimidating. So like I said, 2 hours a day, basically. And it was during that time that, you know, they call it the living, breathing Word of God. So for the first 10 years that I was a Christian, this book were black words on a white page. They spoke to me. You know, I got what they were saying, but they were, and I hate admitting this, but they were pretty much just that. Black words on a white page. Dated Karen, got into the Word, spent 2 hours a day. After a while, that word, those black words I'm talking about, pretty soon they came to life. They were like 3D. They just literally would come. I mean, you make movies out of this type of stuff. The words would just like come, kind of like the Millennium Falcon and the stars, you know, just like. I mean, have you guys ever experienced the living, breathing Word of God coming out at you off the page? Yes. That's what I'm talking about. It was such an incredible, amazing, wonderful feeling. And it was awesome because, like I said, that is when God really, really started talking to me. So during that time, you know, I'd been giving Him, you know, all this time in the morning. You figure 3 hours on the road, 10 hours at work, that's 13 hours a day. I'd given Him the first 2 hours, so there's 15 hours a day. At the end of that time, at the end of each day, I had all this time that I didn't know what to do with. I finished all my chores. I finished all, you know, you name it. I did 10 hours worth of work, drove home for an hour and a half, got home. At the time, you know, I was helping my parents out. My dad had cancer. I'd mow the orchard. I'd change the water. I would take care of whatever needed to be taken care of at the house. I get done, and it's like, I still got time. What do I do with all this free time? You've heard the term, it takes money to make money. It's kind of the same thing with God. I invested myself in God. I invested my time in God. And guess what? I made a lot of time. I invested in God, and He just like, He returned it tenfold. And it was incredible. And during that time, I left the company I'd been working for. I was blessed to go to work for a Christian employer. Moved through the ranks of being the guy swinging the hammer to being the guy setting the schedules. I got promotions. I got rewarded for my hard work. And the blessings continue to come. But during that time, as the responsibilities grew, my time with God each morning started to dwindle. Not by, oh, you know, I don't need you, but by life. It kind of started seeping in there, started taking away from those first fruits that I was giving him. And like I said, eventually those devotional periods, plus I got to, you know, I was working in Manson. Karen and I got married. I moved to Kashmir. My employer's in Kashmir. That hour and a half drive turned into 5 minutes if I drove the speed limit, six if I didn't. So I didn't have that hour and a half time of God talking. Now when it's God talk, it's, you know, honey, can you please bring me lunch? Oh, by the way, praise God, thank you. Karen and I work together, in case you didn't know that. So when I say that God has blessed me abundantly. Because, like I said, I get to spend every day with her. But that's a love story sap thing that we'll go through some other day on love, I guess. Anyway, I want to stop right there for a minute. We're going to stop right with the, my time started to dwindle. So today we're going to be in the book of Malachi, and we're going to be at chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. And a little backstory on that. This is the chapter on tithing. And usually when this message is presented, it's based off of our finances. You know, give your first fruits, 10% of your paycheck should go to God, which I'm going to tell you right now, I fully and wholeheartedly believe in that, but I'm going to let Andrew preach that message to you someday. So put him in this spot. This message is God talking to the nation of Israel, and he's talking to them, and it's just these few verses. He's talking to them, and he's saying, hey, I had a covenant with you. We had a deal. We had a plan. I deliver you. You tithes and offerings, and you guys are kind of slipping on your end of the deal. What's going on? And it's easy to do. And it's not, and it's really not anything that I think we intentionally plan to do. But it happens. You get comfortable with where you are. And you just slip. So the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, super duper. Like I told first service, it's like 1.5 pages in my book, in my Bible. It's the last chapter of the Old Testament. We will go through that right now. Malachi 3, verses 8 through 10. Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Excuse me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. So let's think about that, about our time. Verse 8 clearly says, when we don't give our full tithe and offering, we are robbing God. I was there. It's kind of like an omission. If you don't say the full disclaimer, people say, it was a lie. Well, I didn't lie. I just didn't say the whole truth. Well, I didn't rob God. I just didn't give him the full tithe. I didn't give him the full amount. Now, here's the deal, though. It says, the word here says, will a mere mortal rob God? Do any of you guys really think you can rob God? Is there one single thing that God really needs from us? God is everything. He is everything. He has everything. Creator of everything. He is everywhere, all the time, all places. Do you really think you're robbing God? Who are you guys robbing? We're robbing ourselves. I wasn't robbing God. God wants to throw open those floodgates, people. But you got to give him something to work with. When we withhold our tithes and offerings of anything, the only person that you're robbing, the only person that you're shortchanging is you. Is you. He says, give it to me. Test me on this. The only place in the Bible where he's thrown it back, test me on this and see if I won't do it. You know, God is a faithful and loving God, and he longs to spend time with us. Longs to spend time with us, each and every one of us. So I'm going to jump forward again. So during those early years when Karen and I were first dating, I was giving him all of my first fruits, all of my time, all of my tithe. I wasn't withholding anything. And I was being blessed. I was being fulfilled. I was being enriched. And, wrong page. You'd think that if I know the story this well and had such an impact, I wouldn't need these notes, but during those times, like I said, I just had all this time because I was giving him that time. Every morning I was giving him that time. And you guys are going, man, this guy sounds like a broken record. Because it's important, people, you need to give him the time. We need to give him the time. So now back to the story. So as I slowly started slipping from my end of this covenant with God, pretty soon the days became longer, the duties became greater, my extra time became shorter, it just seemed this vicious circle. I just could not keep up with every single thing that I needed to do. Because I could do it on my own, right? Because I'm a guy. And that's what we guys do. So a lot of this message should be directed to the guys. I mean, everybody needs to hear this. But us guys, a lot of the time, we think that that we've got this and we can fix it on our own. We know that we can't. That's why God gave us wives. Okay? And God and wives are an extension of his right hand. They are able to, when needed. But we do. We do tend to take things into our own time. And if we would just get back to basics, get back into the Word, we would have more time. Everything, it's kind of like a puzzle, you know. Everything will just fit into place, even if it doesn't make sense, even if that shape doesn't make sense, it will fit into place. Just got to invest that time. So pretty soon, like I said, eventually my time became less and less. My free time, you know, I was running out of sand in my hourglass. Why? The hours in the day. Remember when I said I'd gone 13 hours away from home? Now I was gone for, what, 10 hours and 12 minutes? I had more time. But I had less time. I spent 2 hours in the Word, one way or the other, on my way to work. Now I'm spending 15, 20 minutes. So I should have more time, right? I don't have 2 hours here, only 20 minutes, so I should have about an hour and 40 minutes left. That's pretty quick math. I didn't. And slowly, what I was doing is I was just shortchanging myself. I was robbing God of the blessings that He wants to give me. He wants to bless us. He longs to bless us. He longs to be in our lives and to share time with us. How many times have you felt life pulling you left? Well, it depends on who's left and who's right. Anyway, how many times have you seen life pulling you back and forth, you know? We all experience it. We all have life's demands. We all have budget meetings to get ready for. We all have kids to get ready for school. We all have lunches to make Karen. We all have... We all have, you know, got to get gas in the car. I was going to do it last night. Forgot to do it. We all have life. Every single one of us. We also all have God. He asks us to test Him. He doesn't ask us to test Him to prove ourselves to Him. He knows who we are. He asks us to test Him to prove Him to us. Because I don't think we fully grasp God's mightiness and God's goodness. He asks us to test Him so He can pour out those floodgates. He asks us to test Him so He can fill our hands. He asks us to test Him so that we can see His goodness. So, are you guys up to a challenge?
Yeah.
Who here is willing to get in God's Word each day, to start each and every day in God's Word? Who here? That's great. That's great, because I'm going to tell you something. God is mighty, and He's mighty indeed. And right there, that hand that went up in the air, that's a commitment. And that is all I'm asking for right now. I just want a commitment. I want you to start. If you haven't started, start. If you have started, stay. If you're staying, encourage. But start. Give Him 5 minutes. Give Him 10 minutes. Give Him a half hour. Just start. Because I guarantee if you start and you stay committed and you stay, that 5 minutes is going to grow into 10. That 10 minutes will grow into 20. 20 minutes, 40. Math gets a little tricky after that. But stay. Stay in His Word. Stay with Him. Let this book right here come alive each and every morning in your life. We are a nation that is taken away from God. You know, when I started construction, my first cell phone was the size of this. Okay? And all it did was, if you're lucky, make a phone call. Okay? If you wanted to be in the Word at work, you had to pull out your Bible. Did I? No. If you want the honest truth, no, I did not. Today, you got this. Okay? I'd venture to say there's not a single person in this room that has a cell phone this big. But I'd venture to say 90% or more of you have a Bible that is this big. A Bible that will talk to you in any version that will get the message of God into your mind. Whether it be the King James, New King James, New Living, New International, the Message, you name it. There's more versions in this Bible than I even knew there was. And if you want to read it in Russian or Spanish, you can do that too. We need to start giving them back our time, people. Can you imagine that what would happen, the possibilities that we would have open to us, is if we as a congregation, just this room, just the people who are right here right now, stayed committed and got in God's Word every morning and started at each morning in God's Word? Can you imagine the growth that would happen? And I'm not talking the growth of the church. I am talking the growth of the church, but not. I'm not talking the numbers of bodies that are coming through the door. However, it would probably increase. I'm talking about the growth of the relationship among one another and the growth in the relationship that you would experience with God. Can you imagine the possibilities of what this church could do in this valley? Could you imagine the possibilities of what this church could do in the state? You think that you impact just this valley or this congregation? You're fooled if you do. We are watched everywhere, all the time. Another reason to be in this Word. This Word will tell you how to live. And when you're committed to being in this Word, it won't just tell you how to live, it'll come at you full force off the page. As the worship team comes up, I want to leave you with one parting thought. So, you guys all decided to start your Sunday with God, right? Do you know that He's already blessing you with an extra hour today? Think about that. So, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it is awesome to be in Your kingdom. We are a blessed nation. We are a blessed group of people. This is a blessed church. Lord, I ask for each hand that was raised this morning. Lord, I ask that You touch and lead and guide and encourage and strengthen and fulfill and nourish and nurture each and every person here. Lord, help us be diligent to be in Your Word. Help us to stay grounded in Your book. Help us, Lord. Help me. This message is not only for the church. This message is for me. And Lord, I need Your strength. I need Your help. I need to get back to where I was. Lord, You put this message on my heart for a reason. And Lord, this message has been shared, and I hope it touches the hearts of others. Lord, I want to thank You for each person here today. Bless us, Lord. Bless us in ways that we have not even begun to imagine. In Your wondrous and glorious name we pray. Amen.